from the WGXC newsroom. This is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Bethany Bump reports for the Times Union that while a few local health departments, vaccine providers, and officers for the agent are working to get the homebound vaccinated for COVID-19, there is no official state-led campaign informing people confined to their homes how to get vaccinated. Beth Finkel, state director of AARP New York, said, and I quote, "There's no systemic, holistic plan for reaching this group," end quote. She added, and I quote, "The governor has done a great job of rolling out the vaccines to so many populations, and we are very thankful for that. But the group that really still needs attention is the homebound," end quote. About 300,000 New Yorkers currently receive services in their home, Finkel says, but many more people are unable to leave their homes. Other states such as Texas, Massachusetts, and Florida have specific plans to vaccinate the homebound. Finkel said, and I quote, "Other states are acting to address this issue now," end quote. She added, and I quote, "Why is New York lagging behind?" End quote. At least one New York official is cagey on the issue. Bump writes, and I quote, "Jeffrey Hammond, a spokesperson for the state health department, did not directly respond when asked whether the state was working to develop a coordinated statewide campaign," end quote. Others think this job is best left to local officials. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple said, and I quote, "We know these communities. We know these people. I can't tell you the dozens and dozens of people who have reached out to me on social media to tell me they have a loved one in Knox or Albany who could use this service, and so we add them to our list," end quote. But vaccinating people in their home takes a lot of staff time. Apple said, and I quote, "It is very time consuming because we have to wait with them for 15 minutes after," end quote. He also said, and I quote, "And then you move to the next house, which could be 10 miles away or 2 miles away, so the numbers aren't huge. We try to do 10 a day or sometimes 15, but if we can only do one a day, we're happy to do it," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Michelle Bocanegra is reporting for Politico. The New York State Department of Health quietly updated its school guidance late April 9th, cutting in half distancing guidelines to 3 feet. At the same time, the department emphasized the need to return children to classrooms. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention changed its minimum school distancing recommendation to 3 feet, with the exception of the middle and high schools in high transmission areas, 1 month ago. Counties with low to moderate COVID transmission can now keep their elementary, middle, and high school students 3 feet apart instead of the previous 6, according to the state. Elementary schools in high transmission areas can maintain 3 feet of distancing between students, but middle and high schools must revert back to 6 feet where cohorting is not feasible. Cohorting refers to pre-assigned groups of students who have limited interactions with each other. A slate of exceptions to the new rule includes interactions between adults and between students and adults. The updated state guidance still includes mask wearing and maximizing opportunities for vaccination of all school personnel and students. The state is urging school districts to prioritize efforts to return all students to in-person instructions as circumstances permit. And I quote, "Based on the dynamic nature of local community transmission of the COVID-19 virus, a phased-in approach or hybrid model combining in-person instruction and remote distance learning in cohorts may be necessary at various times through the 2020-2021 school year," end quote. Read the full story at politico.com. Melanie Lekosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The scheduled public hearing on the proposed conversion of New Baltimore's former Budget Motel into apartments was recessed last week after the developers failed to provide needed information. Developer Stephen Sanzi and Gregory Bernardi purchased the property on March 31st for $800,000. They have proposed renovating the former motel into 12 one-bedroom apartments and 4 studio units. The New Baltimore Planning Board public hearing on the conversion was adjourned to May 13th after details, plans, and paperwork were either missing or unclear. Sanzi failed to bring the required paperwork referred to in the meeting as, and I quote, green tickets, end quote, that indicated he had notified neighboring property owners of the public hearing. There were also questions about the plans that had been filed with the planning board, which were inconsistent with Sanzi's plan. The developer said they intend to take 28 units and convert them to 16 apartments, 4 studios, and 12 one-bedroom units. However, Planning Board Chairman Rob Van Etten said the plans on file call for converting the space into 14 units for senior living residents. In March, Sanzi said the studio apartments will be rented for $700 to $800 a month and the one bedrooms would be $900, including utilities. Because the units, as proposed, are smaller in size than the town's zoning laws allow, Sanzi said he acquired a variance from the Zoning Board of Appeals allowing for smaller spaces. But Van Etten wants to see confirmation of that decision before the public hearings resume May 13th. Before the public hearings resume May 13th. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting local business owner Ola Nashiawat Hawatame has announced her bid to unseat Dutchess County Comptroller Robin Lewis, a Democrat, in November. Hawatame, 44, has secured the Republican and conservative ballot lines. In 2020, she made an unsuccessful attempt for New York's 19th congressional seat. In the Republican primary, Hawatame lost to Kyle Vanderwater by approximately 3,000 votes. She also tried to get the Conservative Party line, but was disqualified before the primary. Then she launched an unsuccessful write-in campaign. Now, the 44-year-old challenger said, and I quote, I'm running for county comptroller because the people of Dutchess County need a strong fiscal watchdog to account for how every cent of taxpayer money is spent, end quote. She went on to say, and I quote, as a businesswoman and entrepreneur, I have the experience needed for the job, while also bringing the fresh perspective of someone who isn't a career politician, end quote. The first-generation American and mother of three, Hawatame is a native of Dutchess County. She founded two fashion design companies, Ola Style and Mom Make Me Over. Hawatame is also the founder of Makeover for a Cause, a charity that provides free makeovers to underprivileged women and military members and their spouses. As a survivor of thyroid and breast cancer, she also started Survivor Fashion Week, a charity that allows cancer survivors to walk as runway models and raises money to help fund a cure. County Executive Marcus Molinaro supports Hawatame, saying, and I quote, she's smart, hardworking, and passionate about helping others, which is exactly the kind of person we need working alongside me to look out for the taxpayers of Dutchess County, end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.